The era of the literary salon is long gone. Dorothy Parker cracking jokes with Ernest Hemingway and Truman Capote, Allen Ginsberg staying out late with Sylvia Plath and Jack Kerouac, Warhol's wild parties. These days, the fiction scene in the U.S. is a little harder to find. The New Yorker's 20 Under 40 edition hits newsstands and mailboxes today, and its list perhaps is the fiction scene in the U.S. these days. The last time the magazine did this, they named Michael Chabon, Jeffrey Eugenides, David Foster Wallace, Jhumpa Lahiri, and some other very durable names. Now there's a new list. We have the fiction editor, Deborah Treisman, and one of the writers whose work is featured in the magazine, Rivka Galchin. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
This issue, the New Yorker's 20 Under 40 edition, is something that you did a while ago to great success. Has the literary world changed in the years since you did this the last time?
Right. It's interesting to look back at the 1999 list, which we're happy to see has really held up over time.
Oh,
and
hugely.
One thing that I thought was interesting was that in the four issues before this issue, three of the stories we published were by writers who were actually on that last list. Nathan Englander, Jonathan Franzen, and Jeffrey Eugenides. So obviously those people are still around and writing and still sort of central to American fiction today.
You know, it seems to me one of the things that's changed since 1999 is that the idea of fiction has shrunk in America. I think fewer readers. There's a sense that this issue and the New Yorker fiction department is kind of the return address for American fiction right now. Is that an exciting thing? Is that a perilous thing?
Well, it's wonderful for us because I feel like we have a unique opportunity to reach readers. The magazine goes out to more than a million people, mm-hmm. and you can't say that for just about any other venue for short fiction. On the other hand, any shrinkage is bad for us.
Right.
You want the fictional world to be as diverse and various and enormous as possible. From my point of view, I don't really see a major shrinkage except in the outlets for fiction.
Well, that's exciting. Rivka Galchin, this story is very different from your novel, but it seems to be written in a style that evokes more than anything the ability in our era now to sort of jump from subject to subject, place to place, word to word in this kind of Google era. There are so many different subjects in this story, and they all sort of relate in this casual, wonderful way. What were you thinking of?
I don't really know what I was thinking of, but I do agree there's something, there was some sort of desire to make something out of, like, the noise. There's something noisy and sort of, like, just, I was thinking of my main character as refuses to tune in to any particular channel because it gets painful to pay attention. So you're just like, how about just keep it noisy enough? If everything's, like, bigger than what's going on in my mind, that'll be sufficiently noisy.
Well, and it's about a blog that her apparently ex-husband had secretly written that apparently describes her in horribly disparaging ways. But she's not terribly focused on that. But then she is, but then she's not. That itself is a kind of an internetian circumstance.
Yeah, I sort of feel like she's a character who's come up with a way that, like, just the idea that there's sort of an aversion to data and aversion to information, and yet sort of it's all right there, and that can be kind of nauseating, although, like, endlessly tantalizing, never satisfying. So I sort of thought, well, here's this woman who's sort of, a minor internet star, in the sense that her husband's been keeping a blog about what's unpleasant about her, but she's sort of not interested in it, and she might be the one person who it would be worthwhile to pay attention.
Exactly.
And, who else should be interested?
But then, of course, he's an ex, so, why would you read the blog of an ex anyway? So it's a great set of relationships. Do you look, Deborah Treisman, for style that pushes forward and comments on the age? I mean, I think some have criticized, certainly in earlier years before you were the fiction editor, that New Yorker short fiction had almost become a parody of itself, a kind of navel-gazing about relationships. This style in this story is very almost avant-garde in a certain way.
Yeah. Well, there's for decades there's been this notion of the New Yorker short story, which no one has ever been able to actually define, and people have thought of different things, whether it was John Cheever or Dorothy Parker, mm-hmm. Whatever else, or perhaps this image of the disgruntled husband living in the suburbs. But actually, if you look at any time period in the magazine's history, many, many different things were being published at the same time that Cheever and Updike were being published. Donald Barthelme was being published, who was certainly on the cusp of the avant-garde at the time. So I sort of
it's a venerable tradition, and you
yeah,
march in.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a major change. I also don't think there is a New Yorker short story, as mm-hmm. as Rivka was saying earlier.
How do you guys get dealt with over at the New Yorker? I mean, we all have our image of what it's like over there, and you know, do you fiction folks, hey, what are you writing today? Or you know, do you sit there with Jane Mayer and talk about the CIA, or are you sort of the strange folks in the back of the office that nobody interacts with? How does that work? I mean, you started as an intern. You started as an intern, right?
Yeah, I do. I do remember as an intern. It wasn't obvious in like the physical embodiment that the fiction department was so different. But I did always wonder. But I had no access to that because I found it was an extremely polite office in which I could not tell what was going on. I don't know.
Well, one comment on that is that all of the people who edit fiction are also editing nonfiction.
Really?
Yeah. So we're all very involved in the nonfiction side of things as well. It's one of those circles where, you know, there are groups that cross over, the interlocking circles. The nonfiction editors don't edit fiction, but we do both. So in a sense, we're running a sort of mini one story a week magazine within the larger magazine, but we're also very involved in the larger scheme of things.
But none of that sort of backstabbing Condé Nast kind of narrative where, you know, the fiction people are jacking up the expense reports. That's the reputation. They have the biggest offices. Nothing like that.
I've never been taken out to a fancy lunch. I'm waiting.
I have to say, I think the fiction department has the fewest expenses for anyone. You know, we're not sending people to Zimbabwe or Afghanistan. We're simply letting them sit at their desks and write on their own time.
Memo to Remnick, right? Yep, there we go. Well, Deborah Treisman, thanks so much. Fiction editor at The New Yorker, and Rivka Galchin, author of the novel Atmospheric Disturbances and one of the writers featured in the current New Yorker's 20 Under 40 edition. Her story is titled The Entire Northern Side Was Covered with Fire. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can actually hear Rivka Galchin read her short story from this week's magazine. We have an MP3 of that up on our website, thetakeaway.org. The title of that story is The Northern Side Was Covered. The Entire Northern Side Was Covered with Fire. Tomorrow, Christopher Hitchens joins us. What does it mean to be a public intellectual, and how many drinks do you have to belt back to be granted that title? His answers when we talk about his new memoir, Hitch 22. For more of what's coming on the show, head to the Takeaway blog, where our producers, guests, and more weigh in, and you can add your 2 cents. That's at thetakeaway.org. Click on blog. Is Hitch actually bringing scotch into the studio tomorrow?
I was actually coming off your last interview thinking that perhaps you and I could go to lunch and charge it to the station, you know?
Oh, yes. The fiction department of The Takeaway. Yes, indeed. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Lynn Scherr in for Celeste Headlee, and this is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.